right. We are actually going to move out of 1 Corinthians 13. Whoa, 13. Woohoo. We've been there for 5 weeks, but we had a good payoff last week, did we not? So it was well worth staying there for a couple extra weeks. So, go ahead and grab your Bibles if you got your copy of God's Word. We always have it up on the screen, but it's always good to have your copy of God's Word in your hand. Now, titled this Spirit-Led or Spirit-Led. The difference is the capital S to the lowercase s. There's a difference there. That'll be made clear as we go. Now, since Gan came in and spoke, I'll probably go over a little bit. But it's not my fault. If you have a problem, take it up with Gan. Now, chapter 14, Paul is going to deal with major problems. He's been dealing with major problems in the Corinthian church. He's already spoken about the divisions among them, the unloving attitudes towards each other, people seeking their own desires and ways within the church, many wanting to be elevated over others and have power and control, many wanting recognition for themselves instead of pointing people to Christ and highlighting Christ. They want people to look at them. They want to highlight themselves. Paul's been addressing all these issues in the Corinthian church. Paul directs them to love. That is the greatest trademark of a believer, of a true church. Because pure love, agape love, God's love, it does not seek its own. It's not boastful and parade itself. It's pure love. And that is what the church and Christians were supposed to be about. We're supposed to understand the church is not about us. The Corinthians just were not getting that message. It was all about them. But the church is about Christ. The Corinthians were doing the exact opposite. And when it came to spiritual gifts, their sinfulness kept going right into that subject as well, and they started to abuse the spiritual gifts. We've already learned here in 1 Corinthians that the spiritual gifts are brought by the Holy Spirit into a believer's life. Every believer will have a gift. But it's the Holy Spirit who decides what your gift is. It's not natural talents or anything like that. It's a spiritual gift. It's something you did not possess before you came to Christ. The Holy Spirit decides what you get. But the Corinthians, they had hijacked this process. And they were proclaiming and all the gifts for themselves. You know, I ran into one person one time, and they told me that they had every spiritual gift. And I was like, wow. Had everyone. The Corinthians were trying to proclaim the best gifts and show the best gifts, or what they perceived to be the best gifts, to elevate themselves, to bring the spotlight upon themselves. Again, totally missing the whole point of the church and the gifts. The one they were mainly abusing, which Paul is going to address today in chapter 14, is the speaking in tongues, which we'll discuss as well. And when the church came together to worship, the service was being hijacked by all these people trying to show off their gift of tongues. And it was chaos. It was chaotic. There was confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. So Paul here is going to address this problem with the Corinthian church. So let's begin verse 1. Pursue love. Gan just mentioned that. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, Paul says. Again, if you're going to do one thing in the Christian walk, you're just going to do one, then do that one. Pursue love. If we could get that one down, and that would be our first of all of us, to get that one down, to be loving, to let the fruit of the Spirit, which is agape love, fill our lives, boy, what a church that would be. If you're going to do one thing, do this. So Paul says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Paul is not against spiritual gifts. Paul is wanting us to desire it in meaning. If the church, everyone was operating in their gift, which they're designed to do. We'll see that today. We're designed to operate in our gift inside the church, inside of ministry. Then the church would be, be amazing. Everyone would be filled with the Spirit, operating in the Spirit, loving in the Spirit. The church would be getting the job done. We should desire that the Spirit is in control. But today we're going to find out how there's a different spirit that can control us and not the Holy Spirit. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. So what are these gifts we should desire? Well, I want to look at the three places in Scripture where the gifts are listed. The first one is Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. We are to be humble. So we see right here, Paul opens this chapter talking about surrendering to the Holy Spirit, laying our life down, being transformed by the Holy Spirit through the sanctification process, to humble ourselves before God. And look what he says in verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. We have gifts. Not everyone has the same gift, and no one has all the gifts, but we have gifts. But it's directly connected to us surrendering to the Holy Spirit, laying our life down as a sacrifice. Then this spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit brought at the moment of your salvation, it can start to be manifested in you. And we're to use them. And there's the list: prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, mercy. There's these gifts. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Again, we see the context of the gifts. It's wrapped up in surrender to the Holy Spirit, sanctification, humbleness, esteeming others better than yourselves, and loving without hypocrisy, pure love. That's the context of the gifts being manifested in our lives. They are rooted and grounded in the Holy Spirit and agape love. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. Another passage on the gifts. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in one. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And that's key. Your gift is not for yourself. Your gift is given to you for the profit of all, for the edification of the church, for the ministry of the church. It's not for you to highlight yourself or try to gain financial gain from it or recognition, which a lot of people do today. For one is given the word of wisdom, another knowledge through the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills, the Holy Spirit. Have you ever heard, and I know I've heard it, and I've heard churches teach this, that if you're really saved, you'll speak in tongues. It's proof of your salvation. Everyone will speak in tongues. Is that what the Bible says? No. Far be it. We can't just decide and change scripture and say, yes, we have all the gifts, or everyone's going to speak in tongues. And it's the Holy Spirit controls the gifts. You can't pick and choose what you want as a gift or not. It's not up to you. He wills it. He controls the entire aspect. And he's the one that manifests it. Paul continues to talk about the gifts through this whole chapter, but I want to skip to the end. Verse 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers, workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No. These are rhetorical questions by Paul, and it's no. He's very clear about this. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way, which is 1 Corinthians 13, where we just spent 5 weeks. Love. Again, the gifts are good and they're needed for ministry, but the most important thing is that they're rooted and grounded in love. Not human love, but God's love, agape love. The final, another passage that has the gifts is Ephesians chapter 4. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. It's a spiritual gifting to be those. Why? Would God give me to be a pastor and call me to be a pastor for my own profit? That I could be like the pastor I heard yesterday on the radio saying, talking about sowing seeds of faith, and the seed of faith that you needed to sow was $1,000 check to him? He mentioned all these different things, and between each one was $1,000 seed of faith, this check, and I was like, oh! If I could have reached out and grabbed him, I would have. Using his position to profit himself. No, we are called and gifted for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, which is the Great Commission, and for the edifying of the body so they can fulfill that Great Commission. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And boy, that is majorly happening in America today. People are told all sorts of false doctrines, and churches are covered up in heresies. Why? Well, it goes down to 82% of Christians don't read their Bibles. So if you don't read the Bible and know it for yourself, how will you know when some preacher gets up and starts preaching something that's not true? You won't. And some of them are very good at it. Very good at it. Verse 15, but the speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, the sanctification process, all of us becoming like Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working, by which every part does its share. Every part does its share. We all have a part to play in the church, in the ministry of the church, causes growth of the body, sanctification, for the edifying of itself in love. So we see all the gifting available to the church, every aspect in Scripture where it is dealt with in context of being humble, being loving, and serving others. That's the context of the spiritual gifts. The sanctification of the Holy Spirit, being filled with agape love. The Holy Spirit decides what gift you have. There's no reason to seek out what gift you have. Just seek Christ. Seek sanctification. The Holy Spirit will reveal that gift in you in time because it's spiritual. It's nothing you can produce on your own. He'll manifest it if you're seeking. The gift is to be used for all the church, not for yourself. And love is always the goal. Every believer using their gift to bring unity to the church and promote the ministry. Now that we understand context and purpose of the spiritual gifts, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14. to move along here. Pursue love and spiritual gifts, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. What is the gift of prophecy? To prophesy. Let me tell you, it's not revealing new information. That gift, that office is gone. The office of prophet, it no longer exists. I know there are people running around today in the world calling themselves prophets. I'll show you that office, there's no new revelation. Prophecy is greatly abused, even though Paul doesn't really address the abuse here. The abuse is of the speaking of tongues. But today, in many churches, the gift of prophecy is greatly being abused, where everyone seems to have a prophecy. Everyone has a message from God, new revelation outside of Scripture. And many times it contradicts Scripture. It's being greatly abused today. But what we see in Scripture is this, Hebrews chapter 1. God in various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. The Word of God was not complete. The Bible was not complete. So God used prophets to bring the revelation of His Word to people. That was in the past. Because look at verse 2. Has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. And the very last book in the Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. There is nothing new. There is nothing to be added or taken away from this book. It is complete for what God wants us to know. There is nothing new to be told. If anyone comes to you and say, I have a new revelation from God, I would run from them. Everything we need to know is right here. This is complete. The spiritual gift of prophecy in today, it is understood as this, the correct interpretation of Scripture. Taking what is already revealed in the Word of God and having the ability to explain it and share it with someone when they need it. You just have this gift of giving the Word of God and explaining it to someone so they can understand. That is one aspect of prophesying, taking the revealed Word and explaining it. Now there is another aspect. I want to show you that aspect of prophecy, of prophesying. Acts 21, verse 10. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So he brings a revelation of the Holy Spirit to Paul that Paul is going, when he goes back to Jerusalem, he is going to be bound and put in prison by the Romans. Again, he's a prophet. The office of prophet was during the time of the apostles. There was apostles and prophets. But once the Bible was complete and everything was revealed, those two offices ceased to exist. There are no more apostles and prophets. We can prove that from Scripture. I won't go into it this morning. But there's a lot of people out there claiming to be apostles and prophets and even claiming to be better and more have more authority than the apostles of the Bible. Do not listen to these men and women. But here, Agabus gives a message, a detailed message. That's very important. This aspect of prophesying is testable. It's testable. It's either going to match Scripture or if it's an event, it's going to come true. Many today what people are prophesying, and I've watched many videos and stuff online, and I've been around people that have prophesied or supposedly are prophesying, and their prophecies do not match Scripture. Many times they contradict Scripture. Or many times there are things and events and things that never happen. I've had people come up to me and tell me, I have a word from God for you. My first question is to them is, well, why is God talking to you and not to me? I have the same Holy Spirit you do. But okay, you have a message? Let me have it. And everyone that's ever done that to me, and there's been a handful, I've cut them off because their message already started to contradict Scripture. And I told them, you are false. I had one time I was entered Burger King. I'm standing in line waiting for my Whopper. And you know how I love my cheeseburgers. Don't get it between me and my cheeseburger. And a guy walks up and he says, as soon as you walked in, brother, God told me to tell you this. I see the aura around you, the glow. You are called to be this warrior. Prayer, he goes on and on. And I'm like, hey, no, that's false. No, cheeseburger, get out of the way. Fake stuff. But there's lots of people out there going to tell you they have a message from God for you. Very, very careful. And if you feel God's putting a message on your heart, you better pray about it. If you need to tell somebody, you better make sure it's coming from the Holy Spirit and not your own spirit or some other spirit in the world. A few weeks ago, this is kind of the gift of prophesying. A godly woman here was reading her scripture. And she came to a scripture, and as she was reading in her private time, God laid me on her heart. So she gave me the scripture. She's revealing a truth from God's word that she felt God wanted me to know in here at that moment. That's under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Very humbly, not trying to highlight herself. Be very, very careful, because people have always said they're speaking for God when they're not. Even in the Old Testament, go back to Ezekiel 13. Likewise, son of man, set your face against, son of man is Ezekiel, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own heart. Be very careful with people prophesying and wanting to prophesy over you. Okay? Many people speak from their own heart. They're not speaking from God. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to get done here. Hold on. Speaks in tongues. Now, what is speaking in tongues? I'm going to be real clear about this. And go back to Acts chapter 2. Day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes on the disciples. They're filled with the disciples. The wind comes rushing in. They're filled with the disciples. The disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they pour out in the street and they start testifying. Now, go to the next one. Next slide. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, capital S, gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, speaking all sorts of different languages. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone in the crowd heard them speak, them, the disciples, speak in his own language. Speaking in tongues is not this gibberish. It's not this heavenly language that no one can understand. It's not the language of angels. It is the known human languages that you do not know yourself. And that's what's happening here. They're speaking in tongues. It's done by the Holy Spirit. And they're speaking in known languages so people can understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14. But if you're not seeking the Spirit, that gift will never be manifest in you. So if you're wanting to show off, that's not humble. If you're wanting to bring light to yourself, that's not the Spirit. So if you're walking in that kind of spirit, small s, your own spirit, you're not going to manifest the real gift of tongues. You're going to manifest either a gibberish or you're going to be faking it. And this is what Paul addresses here to the Corinthians. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. That's what the people say. Well, I'm not speaking to men. No one can understand this, so I'm not really speaking to you. This gift is so special, I'm speaking directly to God in a heavenly language. Paul says, no. You don't speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries, small s. Paul says, no. And we're going to see later, we're going to see next week, how the gift of tongues is not meant for believers to edify themselves. It's meant for unbelievers. So if it's meant for unbelievers, it's meant for them to understand what you are saying. Not if you're speaking in some unknown tongue that no one has ever heard. Paul is speaking of the false tongue, masquerading as a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The genuine gift of speaking in a tongue, a known foreign language that people can understand, that's orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. People were trying to masquerade, trying to show off in church by faking tongues. Maybe some of them were speaking real foreign languages. Maybe they languages they knew. Others were probably doing this gibberish, which I'm going to show you here in a minute. I'm going to show you a video. But Paul is pointing out that those are done through a spirit that's not the Holy Spirit. Verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks edification. Prophesying, taking the word of God, revealing the word of God, the interpretation, the correct interpretation of the word of God. But he who prophesies speaks as an edification, an exhortation, and comfort to men. That's got profit. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more than that, you prophesied. Because the word of God is everything to us. As Gan said, the word of God will not come back void. You put it out for the ears to hear, it's going to have some fruit to it. But a tongue in an unknown language? What good is that? For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets. We're going to talk about interpretation next week. But again, people like the tongues because they like to be entertained in church. They like, and I'm going to show you a video of it, instead of hearing the word of God and being edified and sanctified by it, they want to be entertained in church. Or they want the spotlight put on them. Look how great I am. I'm so awesome and holy. I'm speaking in a heavenly language that you common Christians can't even understand. I pity you. That's the attitude. It's so far from what we're supposed to have, is a loving, humble attitude towards one another. And an attitude where we want to lift each other up and encourage one another. I hate to do this. Play the video.
Sukurobo and Mevadianona.
I can show you the same thing with Hindu gurus. I can show you Hindu gurus speaking like this. All right, go ahead and stop it. It goes on for 30 minutes. Did any of you understand the man up front? Was there any interpretation given? Even if you are, where tongues was an unknown heavenly language, there has to be an interpretation. Wasn't. It's an abuse of the gift. It weighs on my heart because there's many people that have been fooled into this. I was talking to a couple in the first service. Their son, his faith has been destroyed because he was attending a church where they said everyone has to speak in tongues to be saved. And he was being honest with himself and them. He says, there's nothing there. They're telling him, speak in tongues to prove your salvation. He's like, there's nothing there. So his faith has been destroyed because Well, I must not be saved. Why can't I speak in tongues? Or the other way to dealing with it is, okay, I'm going to fake it. Gordon, you've heard that before, haven't you? Fake it till you make it. It traps people. It burdens people. And it's just flat out evil. And if it's being done in your own spirit, that's bad enough. But many times, I'll guarantee you, this is demonic entering the churches. When we are supposed to be allowing the Holy Spirit to manifest, we're allowing our own spirit or something even worse to manifest these sort of things in the church and call it Christianity. I got some more videos I'll show you next week. It gets a little worse. Let's move on. We got to finish up. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Unless I speak to you either by revelation, knowledge, prophesying, or by teaching. That's what matters. Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known that it is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? Even with musical instruments, there's a language to it, there's a rhythm, there's the notes, so we can understand it, and we can, especially trumpet calls in the military, they got to be distinct so you understand what it's saying. Same with this speaking in tongues and it just being gibberish benefits nobody. It only benefited him, the masquerade up there, and look how good I am. Look how awesome I am. You couldn't understand a word he was saying. 1 Corinthians 9. I'm going to finish up here on time. Hold on, here we go. So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongues words easy to understand, how will be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. Doesn't matter what you're saying. No one's understanding it. There are, it may be, in many kinds of languages in the world, and there are, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. It's about communicating with people. Not just a bunch of people running around saying a bunch of weird stuff and no one knows what each other are saying. What good is that? Oh, it might be good for a show and for a laugh. That's not why we come to church. If you come to church to be entertained, you've already missed the mark. We come here to be encourage one another, to serve one another, and to learn about the Word of God. To get strength from one another so we can go out and handle another week in the valley of the shadow of death out there. To understand true doctrine and what the word really says and not these false things that people teach. Verse 13. So I'm going to finish up because I'm about to go over. I highlighted spirit there, you see? Is someone trying to do Christianity, to walk the walk in their own spirit, their own power. But let me tell you, my brothers, my sisters, you cannot walk the Christian faith in your own power. It has to be done in the Holy Spirit. And the only way it's going to be done in the Holy Spirit in your life is if you surrender your life to Christ. First to be saved, and then as a living sacrifice. Seeking him above all other things in your life. Seek me first in my righteousness, Christ said. That is done so the sanctification can happen. Sanctification is of the Spirit, and it is done through the study of the Word of God. Sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth. And 82% of Christians will not read their Bibles on their own. 82%. So 82% are walking the Christian faith, doing church in their own power. And we wonder why the church is so weak in the world today. What if 82% were doing it in the spirit, power of the Holy Spirit? That's what we're aiming for here. The five-year journey we're on, we're in year four. Year four, we're starting to see signs of spiritual recovery. And I told you, I shared in a sermon a couple weeks ago, the different signs God pointed out. But, boy, God just laid a big one out last week, didn't he? Big sign. Karen, Patrick, signs of spiritual recovery. So by the end of year five, we're a spiritually healthy church. That God has opened the door for ministry. That's the journey. That's the destination. But we can't do it if we are trying to operate in our own spirits, small s here and here. It has to be done in the Holy Spirit. So let me finish up, verse 17. For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul had it. He could do it. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Paul wasn't about himself. Paul had the gift of tongues. The real one. The one manifested by the Holy Spirit. But he didn't care about doing that. He'd use it when the Spirit said use it because someone needed to hear it. But he'd rather just speak normally than try to put the spotlight upon himself. So we're going to finish stop here today. The question here, Spirit-led or spirit small s led? Are we all seeking the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, or are you trying to grow as a Christian with your own spirit? Are we here serving God and others through the Holy Spirit, or are we doing it through our own power and strength? Are we truly loving God with agape love produced by the Holy Spirit, or just human love that many times fails and falls short? Are we led by the Holy Spirit or by our own spirit? If you're walking the Christian walk, led by the Holy Spirit through the word and prayer and love and humble service to God and others, then you will have peace from the Spirit. You will have a joy in the Spirit. And a love. And you'll have perseverance. You will endure. Because the Spirit is manifesting. I'm not saying that everything will be easy and perfect for you. But. Or you can try to do the Christian walk in your own spirit. And you will fail. And you will fall short. And you will never have that peace. You'll never be able to capture and lay hold to yourself that peace, that joy that seems to always escape you. The victories of overcoming sin in your life always escapes you. It's probably because you're trying to walk the Christian faith in your own way and in your own spirit. And you won't make it. Are you spirit-led today by the Holy Spirit? Have you been born again? And are you walking with the Holy Spirit? Being led, sanctified? Or are you doing it in your own spirit? Are you a religious person? You're missing out. You're missing out on the sweetness of the relationship with Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the testimony of Gan to start this service off. That's what it's all about. The church growing in faith and understanding and letting the Spirit grow us and mold us and manifest our gifts so we can reach the lost in the world, those who are trapped in sin and darkness, those like those children, like the people of Nepal. But Lord, we don't even have to go that far. There are people within 50 feet of this church who are not saved. And that's what the church is about, Lord. Seeing lost souls come to know you. That's it. There's no other purpose for our existence than that. And Lord, that can happen if we will surrender to you, if we will seek the Holy Spirit sanctification in us by the way you have designed it, to seek the word, to grow in faith, to pray and to be humbled, to be transformed. But Lord, if we choose another path, we choose the path of religion, we choose the path of good works and proving ourselves and trying to highlight ourselves and doing it in our own spirit, we will only hinder the gospel. We will only destroy the church and weaken it to the point that we have no effect. Lord, help us. If there's, as a church, help us to get rid of the lowercase spirit in this place and make sure it's full Holy Spirit conducting this church, leading this church, filling this church, growing this church, and growing us and controlling us. Let it be just the Holy Spirit. Any other spirit, Lord, break it. And Lord, if there's anyone in here who's just, they're running their tanks on empty. They just never seem to have the true Holy Spirit. Their faith is always just weak and never overcoming and never victorious and never bringing true peace and joy. Let them realize, Lord, open their eyes, that what they probably have been doing and believing has been a counterfeit. Lord, help us all to be on the same path, the path of discipleship and sanctification through the sanctification of your word by the Holy Spirit. And let us become united, humbly seeing each other better than ourselves, loving each other, and loving what you have called us to be, the church, supporting her, doing our part, and reaching those who are lost outside of this church. We pray. Amen.